Right now is literally the best time to start an e-commerce business, and here's why. In 2018, we created something that was a first of its kind, a comprehensive online course to start and launch your e-commerce business from scratch, and we called it Start and Scale. Now, 5 years later, this course has helped 25,000 founders in 65 different countries kickstart their business ideas, including thousands who have achieved six and seven figure results. Founders like Lorianne Trin, who used Start and Scale to create a kids apparel brand that celebrates heritage, or Samantha Brett, who used Start and Scale to build Naked Sundays into Australia's number one SPF skincare brand, or April Scott, who used Start and Scale to gain the confidence to launch her luxury sleepwear brand. Although we've updated the program before, this year proved that right now is a defining moment for e-commerce, and it's because of AI. With AI, what used to be slow is now fast. What used to be complex is now simple, and what used to be expensive is now cheap. Every business is going to look so different in 10 years, and if it doesn't look different, it'll likely be out of business. So we went back into the studio because we knew to keep Start and Scale valuable for your business, we had to update it with the most relevant tools and strategies. So today, we're proud to introduce the brand new Start and Scale 3.0 course. And this course is for you if you don't have an idea yet. You're going to learn the fastest path to creating brand names, product ideas, logos, images, all through the power of AI. Or if you already have an online store, you'll learn how AI can help you automate repetitive tasks, analyze customer data, create all sorts of different content, and even handle customer service and so much more. So whether you're a Start and Scale veteran with a flourishing e-commerce business, or you're hoping to take the first step to 2024, this new course will help you completely transform your e-commerce journey with the power of AI. We're super proud of this incredible program. This is the third iteration. We've spent so much time, hundreds of thousands of dollars. So if you want to know more and want to sign up, which I highly recommend you do, if you want to start a store and you're confused or you're not sure where to start, go to founder.com/build my store. That's founder, founder.com/build my store. I can't wait to see you inside.
What you need is thirst. You need to be a thirsty human
who is intent on learning.
It's a really fascinating exploration of human potential.
Now. The Founder Podcast. Even the greatest entrepreneurs had help. If you want to learn from the most successful founders on the planet, you are in the right place. Branson, Mark Cuban, Tony Robbins, Tim Ferriss, Arianna Huffington, Seth Godin, Steve Case, Gary Vee, Sophia Amoroso, Barbara Corcoran, Damon John. Learn from the greatest minds in business today with interviews hosted by Nathan Chan. This is not your average entrepreneur podcast. The Founder Podcast.
Thanks so much for joining us on this summit. The first question that I ask everyone that comes on is, how did you get your job, aka how did you find yourself doing the work you're doing today?
So I was actually introduced to my co-founder, Hamish, through a VC in Los Angeles. I had been successful with another e-commerce business before, and I was looking for my next thing. And so Ed introduced us. He was surfing every day with Hamish, my business partner. And he said, I think the two of you would hit it off and you should do a business together. And turns out he was right.
And what was that business? When did you start it? Where's it at now? How can we talk about size? Because Burst is massive, but yeah.
Yeah, so the first business, e-commerce business that I was a part of building was called FindItParts.com. They are currently the largest distributor of heavy-duty truck, tractor, trailer parts in the world. It is a thriving business. It has taken on, I want to say majority private equity ownership now. It's either majority or like right at the majority line. It is probably just shy of $100 million in revenue. It's a real business. It's nice. And the team there is amazing. We're great friends still to this day. And so I really kind of gained my chops being part of that business from, you know, very early days.
Yeah, got you. And then when did you start Burst Oral Care?
2017.
And how big is it now? What could you share that you feel comfortable sharing?
Here's what I can share. burst of, just to give everyone some background, I've taken on a significant amount of venture capital, so I have a little bit more privacy things that I am obligated to. We are in 2,000 Walmarts. We are launching in CVS in October. We are double-digit millions on Amazon.com. We're on international retail. We have just shy of, you know, we're just grazing below 800,000 subscribers on our digitally native business. We are pretty big.
Yep. Okay. So you've got very decent scale in this, in this category, right?
Yes.
And so how did the business come about?
So Hamish and I went for, so Hamish has only ever worked in oral care. So he has worked on different types of products, prototypes. So he was very well versed in oral care. And we thought we needed something different, unique, and special about us. And we said product was going to be number one. We have to make the best of everything that we make. But then go-to-market strategy. So we spent 6 months just getting together, having a cup of tea or a whiskey, and talking through what could be a special way. And we came up with the Burst Ambassador Program. And so the Burst Ambassador Program is our R&D. It's our acquisition channel. We have 40,000 ambassadors who identify as, you know, Burst people, whether it's they're helping us make the products or they're recommending or they're stocking in their offices. And so I think the conversations about how do you build community and how do you build an authentic professional channel really bonded us together. And we wanted that to be the narrative of Burst. And we've never strayed from that till this day. Even as we've gone into big box retailer, like retailers, the ambassadors are still our number one.
Yeah, got you. And so when you launched, what did that look like, right? Did you launch with you launch with this ambassador program or,
I did. So we launched at a dental convention. We were really bootstrapped in the early days, so we couldn't even afford our own booth. We split a booth with somebody else because it was like $3,000 for a booth and we had $1,500. And we went to a dental convention. We had an iOS version of our ambassador app that we had been developing. And we were like, we're going to meet these dentists and hygienists. We're going to show them our products. We're going to get them signed up and excited. And that's really how we began. We just registered for a dental convention in Chicago in August of 2017.
Yeah, wow. And when did you start to tap into online?
So we really began the scale of our advertising in like March of 2018, I would say. So we focused just on our professional channel from August of 17 till March of 18, I would say, is like roughly the window of completely ambassador signup focused. We began advertising in March because we had been paying attention to what these hygienists were doing in their social media. And we took some of their content and turned them into ads. And those ads like went banana pants. So like, I feel comfortable kind of giving you this order of magnitude. I think that in the month before ads went live, like maybe we had done $50,000 or $75,000 in revenue. And I think like pretty swiftly that ad set, we were pushing $500,000 in revenue per month within like 60 days.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. And then obviously it's gone astronomical since. So what advice would you give to founders that want to build an ambassador program? Because it sounds like that's been just like monumental for your go-to-market and to drive growth over time. You have 40,000 ambassadors. That's a lot.
It is. I think it works for us because it's authentic. So if your criteria for an ambassador program would be any person who will recommend my product, it's not great criteria because then no one feels like they're part of anything that means anything. So for us, you have to have a credential as a dentist or a hygienist. And those people have license numbers and we check them. So you maybe if you sign up, you slip through for like a day, my compliance team is going to catch you. So I think one, identifying what makes someone an ambassador of your product. And the answer to that should be what qualifies them to be the person who recommends this. So, you know, the scope of products out there, if someone was making something athletic, does this person, what is their relationship with athleticism? If this is wellness, what is their relationship with wellness? I think you have to define a criteria that makes you credible as an ambassador. And then the second step would be, what am I asking of you? And then what are you giving me in return? We've been very clear about those boundaries since the beginning of our company. And again, you can't build yourself up on these people and then abandon them at some point in time, because then you're going to have a different brand issue. They're the backbone in our North Star, and they will always be. And so I think if you think you should start with it, just know that you can never give it up. So it's got to be core to who you are.
And what did it look like for you guys? So when you launched in 2017, you said you had a booth. So you obviously had the prototype of the product.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And how did you convince people to become ambassadors? Like, what was in it for them? Why was it a no-brainer? Why would they go out and sell products? You know what I mean? Like, in what? Yeah.
I think what worked was a very honest dialogue. We took the time. So Hamish and I were there in the booth talking to people as they came in. And so the value proposition, as we presented it at the time, because at the time, all we had was a toothbrush and two colors. We didn't have any other SKUs. We've really expanded since then. We said, we want to affiliate ourselves with the people who spend all of their time taking care of people's mouths. What we are offering you is the ability to give us feedback about the products you want to see made, feedback on pricing. And if you are a part of this, you're going to be able to offer people a unique pricing on all of our products. You get a discount, like a professional discount. Like, think how like interior designers can buy furniture at a discount if they're designing your home. And then every time we're earning money, you're earning alongside of us, so a profit share. We also took a really strong look at the things that we didn't like. We didn't like the idea of someone buying inventory or having downlines. Like, we didn't want to be an MLM. Not that there's anything wrong with MLMs. That wasn't core to what we wanted to do. And so we very clearly defined what made this an ambassador program instead of like a MLM program. And we were really clear about that. And so for these people, the commitment was like pretty low, which is just try our toothbrush. And if you like it, then let's talk more. But if you don't like it, I'll never bother you again.
Yeah, got you. So people did buy stock, or you give it on consignment, or how does that work?
So no, there's no stock purchasing. I sell everything out of my warehouse. So like, let's say you've gone to go visit your hygienist, right? She will say to you, this has been a great time cleaning your teeth here and assessing your mouth, but I do think based on the level of plaque that you have in your mouth, you could do with an electric toothbrush. If you go to burstoralcare.com and you use discount code Brittany, you'll save $30. And I suggest that you buy this. And I'm shipping it from my own website. And every time someone uses her discount code Brittany, she's earning alongside of me. And that's it. So no one's buying stock. I'm fulfilling from the Burst Warehouse.
Yes. So it's effectively like an army of affiliates.
Yes. Yes. Bingo.
Yep. Got you. And how do you measure the success of an ambassador?
So I think there's many measures of success. So there's brand and there's financial, and I don't think they're quite the same thing. And I'll give you an example. So financial really is just how many customers do I have because of this particular ambassador? And you can track that to their particular coupon code. And what we were then able to then key in on is, okay, what is the amount to be spending to acquire ambassadors, which for us, the cost of that is like going to a show, paying for a booth, signing people up. And that became really clear to us based on, okay, if one ambassador, like a high-performing ambassador, it's like very great, like there's a gradation, right? Like your top 10% are probably, you know, there's a huge gap between them and the next 10%. There's just people who are like so avid and so natural to them to be mentioning this and almost being a salesperson. So for us, financial is that like, if they just even recommend one customer, that was like a good use of our time. The average metric that we sort of put ourselves together is we really love for these people to have the chance to make $10,000 a year off of recommending our product. So that was like what we were trying to back into, is how many people would that be? And so that's been our North Star. So we would say that, like, you know, that's the goal that we have for everybody who gets involved with this, so that it's real meaningful income for them. And then on the brand side, I think it's a little priceless because, you know, maybe someone lives in a quieter or more rural area where their access to patients is much smaller. They're not going to give you a ton of customers, but those people, a lot of times, create amazing social media, and we can use that social media. Like, here's a YouTube video about how well our product works, or here's an Instagram post. So there's like these intangibles of having really authentic super fans of your product turns into content, which you normally have to spend quite a bit of money on. And we don't have to do that to that degree because we're using the content from these ambassadors with their permission, of course.
Yeah, no, it's quite an interesting and unique approach. You do hear, like, there's another company in the e-com space that I think have done incredible with their ambassador program is Gymshark.
Oh my gosh. Bow down to them. Yes. They're very good at what they do.
Yeah. But what they have done is they've looked at creators that are extremely influential in the health and fitness space, and they effectively sponsor them. So it's a little different. They effectively sponsor athletes.
Exactly. Yes.
Do you guys do anything like that? Do you find kind of thought leaders in the oral care space and partner with them at some capacity so you have that brand alignment, or it's purely more just affiliate kind of based?
We will do that from time to time. So we will So for example, like, we had expanded into the Irish market. We had identified some dentists, hygienists, and doctors who we thought were really influential. And we did like a 6-month sponsorship with them, talking about your oral health, your total biome. Those things are great top of the funnel. It's a little harder to track whether or not that's an effective use of dollars. So we have done that in the past. We have a stable of hygienists we call our senior ambassadors, who we essentially sponsor, and they commit to a persistent amount of content and education about oral care. And I think that number of those, there's about 30 people who we are in a consistent dialogue. We consider them to be representative of our brand values and great influencers in the dental community.
Okay. So for somebody that's first starting out, like, because you guys have over 40,000 ambassadors, that's a lot. How do you onboard that many? Like, and you're not, are you using any sort of technology or anything you could recommend? Any Shopify plugins or apps or what? Yeah.
So we built our own custom system, but I think it's more about systematization of your team. So I actually have what we call the A squad. And so there are some systemization of, you can sign up on my app and the sign up flow is very clear and you can follow that. And then it gets into a queue for approval or disapproval from my team. So they know to look for correct information, no scammers, and then they approve. And then we have automated systems that prompt you through our activation, which is, there is some asynchronous content that we put on Teachable, which teaches you about, you know, everything we think you need to know about Burst in order to be a good Burst ambassador. And then we do onboarding Zooms where you can sign up and learn. And then we do like a boot camp, which is, the ability, you know, everyone who signed up in the month of September, you can learn everything you need to know about being successful as a Burst ambassador. And I have boot camp leaders. And so I have a great team and a great process for onboarding, because ultimately, if someone signs up and then they're not directed where to go, this thing ain't working.
Hey guys, I hope you're enjoying this episode and learning a ton. As you know, in this series, we interview some of the greatest founders of our generation to find out how they did it. However, if you're thinking of starting your own business and you want to hear from some incredible stories from everyday people like you or I who are actually in the trenches, only been building their business for maybe 1 year or 2 years, like, that are building right now and they're really in the early stages, but they're getting success, you should come and check out our new podcast, From Zero to Founder, hosted by our community manager, Molly Flynn. These are in the trenches stories from our very own successful students that have gone through some of our programs. People just like you who are deep within the process of building their very own successful business. These are the founders of tomorrow. You can find the From Zero to Founder podcast on all platforms. And remember, it's founder without the E. All right, now let's jump in the show. For anybody that's listening to this that wants to start an ambassador program, I think it's a brilliant way to drive people to your website, to drive customer growth, to drive word of mouth, to drive brand growth, especially with the rising costs in paid advertising or just being able to get somebody to your website is more expensive than ever now.
That is correct. I think that across the category, you're seeing a seismic shift of how people are allocating their dollars because the efficacy of advertising is just not what it was. And so for people who are getting started, what worked for people 5 years ago or even 3 years ago, it will not be the same for you. So because of that, I highly recommend an ambassador program because it will be an effective, authentic, low-cost way not only to acquire customers, but to get feedback about what you're doing well and doing poorly. So for people who are looking to be early stage, the list of things I wish I would have known that I now know and would have saved me a lot of heartache. Firstly, the quality of your ambassador or affiliate is more important than the quantity. The people who I was able to engage with one-on-one early on remain some of the most productive people for my brand. And it's because I had the chance and the time and the opportunity before this thing exploded to spend real time with them. So you've got to think of these early people as real opportunities for you to have someone you can count on through the life cycle of your business, as well as help you grow it. And then secondly, be thoughtful about the tech that drives it. Do not get yourself into a situation where you're paying tons of money for all of this technology that you do not need. You need to figure out what is the value proposition for an affiliate program that works. Focus on that first. Do not focus on like, well, it'll work if I create some sort of like, you know, Rolls-Royce technology to drive it. The world is very advanced in its technology platforms. If you're not a tech company, you should be on Shopify. So don't go on anything else. Don't build your own custom code because then you have to build everything custom for the rest of your life. Be on Shopify. If you want to know products or services to create an affiliate program or technology around it, there's a lot of outside the box tools. One that a lot of people use for affiliate programs to track and manage is Impact Radius, for example. That's a great low lift one if you just want to know, is this going to work? And then once it works, if you want to customize something on top of that, do that once you've proven the concept. So I think that that's what happens. It's sort of like people over engineer something and they're like, and as soon as the engineering's good, then this is going to work. Ultimately, if the offering and the ambassador are authentic, it's going to work. And no bit of technology is going to make that work for you. It's got that product market fit, value proposition, offer to your affiliate, offer to your customer. If that's all clicking, the tech is like secondary. And I made early on mistakes that have been very expensive for me. And if I could just save anyone else that heartache, this is my gift to you.
So I'd love to switch gears. Obviously, we've talked a lot about ambassador programs and how it's been the bedrock of the growth of Burst. I'd love to talk about AI. How are you guys using AI right now to grow the company? What do you like, talk us through what's working, what's not working?
Yeah, you know, I think it's really interesting. So first of all, I think that there's this conversation that you need to have with your team, which is that AI is not taking your job. Because unless you have that conversation, you're going to have some problems with your staff or your colleagues, because the point in our opinion of AI is that it's taking an A player and making them A plus. So for example, we can use AI or ChatGPT or Bard to help us do research on what are the types of things that people are researching about oral health. Help give us some prompts, help us plan out our media calendar. For people who work in creative marketing and social media, the constant need to come up with things all the time is very daunting. So using AI to help them sift through trends and plan the calendar and maybe even help them spiff up some copy is amazing. And I think it's made all of their lives and jobs better. Another area in which we are exploring AI right now and we think will be successful is there's a lot of replicable tasks that happen at the warehouse level. So what can we use AI to help us, you know, for example, batch and automate order queues so that our fulfillment is as streamlined as possible. So that's another area that we are really looking into things. I would say on the realm of AI, we're still early stage. And I think there's a lot more that we could do. We're growing it in a way that feels authentic to our growth story instead of trying to just ram AI. Another area where we think that there's a lot of opportunity is that I have like the world's best customer service team. And I do think there are things that they answer over and over and over again that are just right there on the website. And giving them tools where I would, in my perfect world, my customer experience team can focus on having experiences with my customers. And then the things that are really basic, like what's your warranty protocols, or do you ship to Australia? These things are, I think a robot should answer that, and I shouldn't trouble a team member with it. And then I want my customer service team to answer questions like, hey, I've been thinking about switching to an electric toothbrush. Do you think someone could talk to me about that? I want my CX team to be able to spend the time needed to create an amazing customer experience on that interaction. And I want to use AI to help these things that are a little rote and basic, because they aren't part of a customer experience. They're like a simple Q&A.
All right. So when it comes to tools and AI, what tools are you using? What has been game changers for your team, or even anything that you are using as a founder and CEO?
There are a few things. There, on the advertising side of things, there is Black Crow AI you can use to do a lot with your advertisements and efficacy of like what is causing people to stop, thumb stop, and you can use it to really analyze what's effective in your advertising. The Answer Bot, which is like Zendesk's AI tool, is something that we're beginning to use with customer service. And then Akio, I could be pronouncing it wrong, but it's A-K-K-I-O, but it's AI for spreadsheets. So you can upload and import CSVs.
Yes.
And get data visualization on trends. And so I feel like you're always looking for information, data, and insights about like what are you doing and how effective it is. And the speed at which AI can do things that are in Excel is like pretty wild. And I'd say that of all the things, using Excel tools for AI, I think beats almost all the other forms of AI stuff that I've seen.
Yeah, got you. So you're using it a lot for looking for patterns and looking at data and getting insights.
Yes.
How often, because you would get like a weekly report, right? With performance, channels, all this data, and then you're now taking that and, or maybe your CFO is even bringing that with insights from looking at.
What I think is really interesting is that like usually in a data environment, you're building your queries and you're saying, these are the things I want to look at and analyze. And it's incumbent upon you to come up with a trend. It's very fascinating to see uploading it to AI and seeing what they notice. It's almost like they're drawing conclusions based on your data and visualizing it in a way that makes sense based on data patterns and recognition they've seen before. So it really forces you to think outside your own box. And that's really fun and exciting.
Yeah, interesting. And where do you see this space going as a founder, but then also in the industry? Like, where do you see it going? What are you excited about?
Where do I see AI going? I think we are at the analogy I will use is that, like, remember when Netflix became a company and everyone was like, I can get DVDs in the mail. And we were like, well, hot dog. And then now I don't think anyone's bought a DVD in years and it's streaming. I think we're at that phase of AI. We're in the DVD phase where we're like, well, can you believe this? And I think there's probably something coming down the line that we're going to be like, I can't believe we ever thought that this was like convenient or cool. Where the streaming side of things, the streaming part of this analogy, I think is coming. I feel like what is really exciting to me is I think you're going to be able to use AI to create personalization for people in a way that you never could before. You know, coming up with customer personas or coming up with customer journeys through your website is exhaustive, right? And so instead, using artificial intelligence to curate an experience that feels amazing to your customer, I think is something I'm really excited about. You know, I think when you're shopping, you're trying to find clear pathways to what you're looking for. And imagine being able to use your browsing history and your purchasing history, what, you know, what they know about you, like, you know, this is my height, this is my weight, this is what I purchased via cookies on my site. I land on Gymshark's website and they're like, you know, based on everything we know about your pumpkin spice latte self, Brittany, these are the workout shorts for you. And I'd be like, oh my God, it's like, get out of my brain. I think that these are the things that are going to create really cool experiences for people. I think that's what I'm really excited about.
And we have to work towards wrapping up, but a couple last questions. One is just around, what challenges do you think founders and business owners are facing right now with this AI, like just massive disruption?
So I think it's twofold. One, I think one issue founders are going to have is that they're going to have like an investor or a board member being like, what do you do with AI? And but with like no suggestions. And you're like, well, I mean, I'm crushing it and everything I'm doing. I'm not sure that I have a need. I'm paying attention, but I may not have found the thing that I need this for. And so someone trying to force AI into your workflow when it's not natural is going to be something. It's sort of like, well, you're behind if you're not on AI. And it's like, well, maybe I don't need it in this aspect of the business, or I don't want it, and that's okay. And then I think secondarily, if you've got competitors and they have figured out how to turbocharge something because of AI, you're going to be at a disadvantage at the same time. So it's like this tricky thing where trying to focus your efforts on something that's not core to your value proposition as a business may be a distraction. But if someone figures something out in your space that's competitive to you, you might lose to them. So it's like this very, I think it's going to be hard for earlier stage companies who are going to have to figure this out.
And so, yeah, that's interesting, that thought, because you don't want to be too early because it is moving so fast that tools and things are coming out. You might not want to develop internally because there might be other companies that are building something at the speed that it'll get mass adoption, and then you've wasted so much time. But then at the same time, if you can build internally and you have something, or you're working on something that's cutting edge, you can achieve extreme scale. Like, I was talking to a founder the other day, e-com, and they, not so much ambassador program, but they have a big retail arm of their business. And what they're playing around with is they have sales reps, right? And doing outbound to get these sales reps to effectively find stockers in retail around the world. And they're looking at using AI to do calls at scale, and training the voice of reps and handling questions. So instead of having 5, 10, 15 reps, they could have tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of calls dialing every single day. Do you know how insane that is?
I do. And that's the exact example I'm pointing out, because like, for someone who figures that out, they're going to beat everybody else who's doing something similar.
Correct.
And so this is the tricky thing, is that it's a very interesting time where someone could innovate in a way that it's like learning a new language. Like, I don't even know what words to ask or think or say or put forth. And so the limitless nature of AI, when it's limitless, like, you don't even know where to start. It's almost like sometimes it's easier when you have a very specific problem. And so maybe that's another way to think about it, is what am I doing right now that like requires mass scale manpower, that if there was some degree of automation, like a robocall rep, I could really cut down on a significant operating expense of my business. Maybe that's the way to ask yourself that question. Or on the flip side, what am I doing outbound to try and garner business that is just rote? And anything that's rote and repeatable, there's an AI solution for it. So maybe that's where you start your journey in asking yourself that question. To my point about like the people who email me and ask me about my warranty, it's like, I just want a robot to answer that.
Yep. Yeah. Well, look, we have to wrap, Brittany, but this was great. Thank you so much for sharing all of your experiences. Congratulations on all your success. And it was great to connect again. Thank you for giving back to our community.
Thank you.
Hey, guys, I hope you enjoyed this interview. As you might already know, our mission at Founder is to help tens of millions of people every single week with our content, either start or grow their business, which is exactly why we're partnering with world-class founders such as Damon John, Alexa Von Tobel, Greta Van Riel, and so many more to teach crucial skills such as negotiation, finance, e-commerce, and so much more. So if you'd like to get access to these free exclusive trainings, please go to founder.com/free. These are 100%. We go super in depth on teaching a particular topic, and I know that you're going to love them if you enjoy this podcast. So just go to founder.com/free. All right, guys, I'll see you in the next episode.